This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
707, 56 chilly degrees this morning. It is wet out there. A lot of light rain overnight. 70% chance of rain today, probably in the form of drizzle. Our high today in the low 60s. Definitely fall weather. Sports agent Terry Watson, the second to be indicted on felony charges related to the UNC football scandal, appeared in an Orange County courtroom on Wednesday. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
Watson, based out of Georgia, faces 13 felony counts in violation of the North Carolina Uniform Athlete Act and one count of obstruction of justice, according to court documents unsealed Wednesday. 13 charges are for athlete agent inducement related to gifts provided to former UNC football players Greg Little, Robert Quinn, and Marvin Austin. Watson also faces one felony count of obstruction of justice. He faces a maximum of 15 months in jail for each of the athlete agent related charges and a maximum of 30 months in jail for the obstruction of justice charge. Watson is next scheduled to appear in court on October 15th, though Orange County District Attorney Jim Woodall said that could change. Watson is alleged to have provided Greg Little with $18,200 in cash between May 2010 and October 2010. Watson is also charged with providing Little with $683.24 for a Miami hotel room and $1,574 for airline tickets. Court documents cite that Watson allegedly provided Robert Quinn with $100 in cash and $675.74 for a hotel room in Miami and $750 for airline tickets. Watson is also charged with providing Marvin Austin with $2,000 in cash. The Uniform Athlete Agent Act has been adopted by 40 states, including North Carolina, and says any agent must register with the state, specifically the Secretary of the State in most cases, in order to act as an agent. Watson was registered in Georgia as a member of the Watson Sports Agency. The Uniform Athlete Agent Act is designed to shield athletes from sports agents who offer gifts to entice them to sign representation contracts while competing on the collegiate level. Last week, Jennifer Wiley Thompson, the former UNC tutor connected to the football program scandal, was the first to be indicted. She was charged with athlete agent inducement on four low-level felony counts. An Orange County grand jury issued multiple indictments on September 30th, three of which still remain under seal. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
A courthouse official told WCHL that it's unlikely Thompson and Watson will serve the maximum punishment if convicted. The degree of their sentence depends on their prior record. This official said most of these people probably don't have much of a record, so they're more likely to just get probation. WNCN is reporting that the third indictment could be unsealed on Friday. Residents living near Obie Creek got a look at a new development plan last night, but many still think it's too much. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
When developer Roger Perry presented a revised site plan to the Obie Creek Compass Committee last night, he told them that review by the town's technical team had done much to improve it.
It's a much better plan than the one you saw Monday night. We're especially excited about figuring out a solution as to how not to turn our back to 15501, but to integrate this project into the fabric of Southern Village and into town.
The revised plan is based on one presented to the committee earlier this week. A team of consultants led by Victor Dover reviewed the plan and made recommendations to the developer. The changes include breaking streets and buildings into smaller blocks, buffering 15501 with trees, and adding slow-speed circulator roads around the perimeter of the property.
I think that's one of the major breakthroughs in the last 2 days, is now what we've designed is a streetscape along the creek that is really, really very much of a human scale. Three-story townhomes where you could, you know, really create quite a pedestrian experience.
But some committee members, as well as many of the three dozen audience members, said the plan did not address one of their fundamental concerns, that of scale. Robert Strauss questioned why the plan called for a development footprint the same size as Durham South Point Mall.
I don't feel like I have a good understanding. I don't feel like there's been a thoughtful approach to why it is the size it is.
In fact, the revised plan is slightly larger than those the committee critiqued on Monday. though Perry said he would be willing to scale it back to approximately 1.5 million square feet. Dover warned the committee not to aim too low, saying the project must reach a critical mass of residential and retail density to succeed.
You usually think about density like it's a toxic substance, and that the thing to do is to reduce the dosage so you don't overdose on it. I don't think that's the situation you have right here. You actually want to achieve a livable density, which means one that supports transit, puts enough souls close together to support neighborhood retail, to support neighborhood congregations. Those are public benefits, and you don't get to that by just taking density out.
Roger Perry agreed.
First of all, you want us to be successful. The last thing you want is a failure here. So you want us to be successful. We feel like that this is a scale that is in the best interest of being successful for us and the town.
The Obie Creek Compass Committee is in the first phase of the negotiation process for a development agreement. The committee's report, due to go to the council in November, will help the council decide whether to enter into the second phase of the process, in which town leaders would negotiate directly with the developer to hash out a long-term building plan. The newly revised Obie Creek map will be presented for public comment at a forum on October 16th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Extraordinary Ventures on Elliott Road. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The UNC System Board of Governors is set to meet today. This coming after the group received criticism from many UNC Chapel Hill students and administrators concerning a change to the drop-out policy. Passed by the Board of Governors back in April, the policy established a system-wide drop period. It shortened UNC's Chapel Hill campus's current drop period from 8 weeks to 10 days. Any course dropped after the 10th day of the semester will appear as a withdrawal on students' transcripts. The policy is required to go into effect by the fall of next year. Jan Boxall, UNC's faculty chair, said at a Board of Trustees committee meeting in September that it was a one-size-fits-all policy that will not help Carolina's students succeed. She said getting a W on a transcript created a stigma concerning the students' academic credentials. Student body president Christine Lambden told the Board of Trustees he also is against the policy. He said once a policy is implemented, UNC's drop-out period will be shorter than many peer institutions and could cause Carolina to fall behind academically. In 2004, UNC lengthened the drop period from 6 to 8 weeks, according to a university publication. When the policy was introduced in the fall of 2012, it was met with resistance from then UNC student body president Will Lehmanstall and the faculty executive committee, who voted unanimously against it. Board of Governors meetings are not public hearings, so if students do protest today, they'll likely be kept outside. The Board of Governors meets at 9 o'clock this morning at the Spangler Center in Chapel Hill. You can join Carol Folt on University Day this Saturday for her official installation as the 11th Chancellor at UNC. She's the first woman to lead Carolina. Festivities will kick off at 1:30 in the afternoon with performances by the Carolina Choir and the UNC Wind Ensemble. The installation ceremony is set to start at 2 p.m. in Polk Place on the steps of South Building. A public reception will follow in front of Wilson Library. If it rains, the event will move inside to the Dean Smith Center. Fulton will give an address about the university's future, and five alumni will be honored with special awards. University Day, which is free and open to the public, marks the laying of the cornerstone of Old East, the nation's first state university building in 1793. The day has become the traditional inauguration day for new chancellors since 1957. UNC President Tom Ross will preside at the ceremony, and Sarah Parker, Chief Justice of the North Carolina Supreme Court, will administer the oath of office. Speakers include representatives from the UNC Board of Governors, the university's Board of Trustees, faculty, students, staff, and the UNC General Alumni Association. The celebration will turn over to the students on Sunday for Folk Fest. It starts in the pit on the UNC campus at 4 p.m. and will be a carnival-like party with food and entertainment. The Board of Governors unanimously elected Carol Folt as Chancellor in April. She started work on July 1st. An internationally recognized environmental scientist and award-winning teacher, Folt served as interim president at Dartmouth College from 2012 to earlier this year and was also a professor of biological sciences. For information on parking for University Day, you can read this article on our website at chapelbro.com. Paul Neeby is a candidate for Chapel Hill Town Council. Meet him coming up in just a moment on WCHL. It is 7:16, time for traffic and weather together. And this traffic report is brought to you by Elmo's Diner. The fun never stops at Elmo's Diner. Shakes, burgers, and high chairs for small fries. Elmo's Diner at Carmel Mall in Carrboro. Now with your morning traffic, here is Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. Traffic's still moving smoothly for the most part out there. We're seeing a little bit of a slowdown on NC 54 eastbound between 15501 and I-40. Heavy at times, but mostly moderate right now. 15501 southbound right around NC 54, seeing some delays as well. Otherwise, things moving smoothly. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, be sure to give us a call. You can be a WCHL Road Warrior. 919-967-8363 is the number to call. You can also tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask that you do that safely.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, very wet and kind of dark this morning. It's brought to you by the Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, one of just three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in North Carolina. That means it's awfully good. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. It is 55 degrees this morning, a little chilly, and it's been drizzly all night long. It's really wet out there. 70% chance of rain and drizzle continuing. High today in the low 60s. Tonight, cloudy with a 70% chance of rain in the low 50s. And then tomorrow, cloudy with a 30% chance of rain, high in the upper 60s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain, low in the low 50s. For your weekend, looks like mostly cloudy skies, highs in the low 70s on Saturday. And if you look ahead Sunday, we're in the low 70s again. Slight chance of rain throughout the entire weekend. So not great weather, definitely fall. 718 at WCHL. Chapel Hill Town Council candidate Paul Nebe says if elected, he will focus on what he calls the town's escalating tax problems. WCHL's Rand Northam spoke with Nebe about his seeking election to the town council and how he believes he will best serve you.
Paul, what do you believe is the number one issue in Chapel Hill that needs to be addressed?
The number one issue, I think, is our escalating taxes. And we need to figure out some way to keep them from growing so quickly and hopefully stabilize them.
And in a general sense, how do you intend to address that and other issues as they come up?
For the taxes, it's pretty clear that we need more of a commercial tax base to reduce our individual tax burden for individual property owners. There's quite a few developments in progress. Obie Creek, Ephesus Fordham. And there's another development, I can't think of the name of it, by 86 and 40. So these are opportunities to develop more commercial space that will hopefully reduce our tax burden. The key is to make it, I think, mixed-use development so that people don't have to drive a long ways to buy whatever they need to buy. And we need to make sure that these commercial developments don't adversely affect traffic.
We're speaking with Paul Nebe, a candidate for the Chapel Hill Town Council. And Paul, how, as a member of the Town Council, are you going to make sure that all the voices of Chapel Hill are heard?
That's a great question. In fact, I try to make sure that every time I talk to people that I get their input. As a professional musician, we are trained to listen to every single voice. I could point out the examples in this room of different noises. But back to the question. There's a pilot program that Durham's running. It's called, it's run by Peak Democracy. And basically, it doesn't cost the town anything, and you get input from the citizens. And I think we should also join in this program. It's run by a company in California, a nonprofit, called Peak Democracy.
And what's one thing that sets you apart from the other candidates?
I think it's the fact that I'm a professional musician, and we have to think outside of the box. And we're always thinking, how can we do this better? And what's the solution? Instead of complaining about the problem, let's think about what's the solution and how can we make it better.
Once again, that is Chapel Hill Town Council candidate Paul Nebe speaking with Rand Northam. You can hear the whole interview by viewing this story on our website at chapelboro.com. Between now and Election Day, WCHL will continue to preview each of the local candidates one-on-one. If you're enrolled in the Women, Infant, and Children program, otherwise known as WIC, Piedmont Health Services Director of Health Support Services, Heather Miranda, says the vouchers you've received are still good, despite the government shutdown.
We've gotten reports of some stores that are thinking that the food benefit coupons vouchers are not good, but they are absolutely good. They're just like a check. The market should be accepting them.
Miranda says Piedmont Health and state officials have been trying to get the word out to the stores, but some people are still being turned away. She says services are still being offered, including certifying and enrolling, providing breastfeeding support and nutrition education. But Piedmont Health, through the WIC program, can't give out any food from now until the end of the federal government shutdown. The federal government pays a $200 million budget for the state's WIC program. Of the 264,000 participants program in the state, there are currently about 5,600 right here in Orange and Chatham counties.
These foods are integral to the nutrition and growth for these folks. And so this program being shut down has an incredible impact on that. Many, many of our families work, but many of them are in great need of food.
Miranda says Piedmont Health is encouraging people to continue to go in and apply for the program.
Because we know that when this shutdown ends, we want to get food benefits to them as soon as possible.
Heather Miranda says anyone in Orange and Chatham counties with questions can call 919-942-8741. You can find that contact number on our website at chapelboro.com. President Barack Obama is meeting today with top House Republicans in hopes of breaking the budget impasse that has shut down part of the federal government. The meeting comes as House Republicans consider advancing a short-term increase in the debt limit before the government risks going to default October 17th. More on that coming up at the bottom of the hour on CBS. And WCHL's news around town this morning. Orange County Solid Waste Management Department is allowing heavier vehicles to enter its convenience centers. Vehicles weighing more than 1 ton will now be allowed on the premises. Passenger cars, vans, and trucks can bring waste to the centers as long as volume doesn't exceed what would fit in the bed of a standard pickup truck. This means while the weight restriction was eliminated, the restriction on the maximum volume of waste per vehicle remains the same. It is time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by AT&T Wireless. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. The Tar Heel football team has a bye week to lick its wounds following three straight defeats. But last week's game at Virginia Tech's Lane Stadium featured a couple of different actors stepping out on the stage, out of the shadows and into the bright lights. WCHL's Matt Oakes has more on the story.
Something was eerily different about Carolina's football contest in Blacksburg last Saturday, and it all had to do with the man starting behind center. For the first time since 2010, Bryn Renner started the game from the sideline. The 27-17 loss at Virginia Tech snapped the 29-game streak of starts for the fifth-year senior quarterback. And not surprisingly, Renner says he took it hard.
It was one of the tough experiences of my career. Like you said, I started 30 games or 29 or something like that. And not to be out there with my teammates, it really hit me, right before the game. I broke down and kind of just, brought the team in and kind of wanted to talk to them and just, how much I missed being out there. So it was very difficult for me. Probably one of the hardest things I've had to go through.
Despite the disappointment, Renner says he saw some positive takeaways from the offense and his replacement, Marquise Williams, against the Hokies.
I think we ran the ball decently. I think Quis did a great job, in between the tackles. I think he was our leading rusher. So I think he did a good job running the ball. And we made explosive plays. I think, we had eight in the game.
Another spark of energy for the Tar Heels came in the form of running back T.J. Logan. He quelled all talks of redshirting by providing some much-needed rushing support for the maligned offense. And Renner says he does an excellent job of pounding for that extra yardage.
I thought he looked great. He runs with his pads low. He gets tough yardage. I think he did a great job stepping in and getting, 3 or 4 yards when it didn't look like anything was there. And he's really fast, and we're looking forward to having him healthy and back from Miami.
Renner says despite the discouraging 1-4 start to the season, the team will be fighting to the finish in hopes of scratching and clawing their way to a bowl game at year's end, as well as saving some pride in the process.
It's really going to be determined what kind of season we want to have. We've talked about it as seniors. 5 of the last 7 games are at home, and we have a chance, to still get to a bowl game. And that's our goal. That's my goal as a quarterback, and my goal as a leader of this team. We want to get to a bowl game and finish it out. And we're not going to be satisfied unless we finish the whole season with our good character and play for pride. That's all we have right now.
But for now, the Tar Heels will continue to grind it out on the practice fields in hopes of finding some answers before a nationally televised Thursday night home game October 17th against the resurgent Miami Hurricanes. You can read this story and follow all the latest on Tar Heel football on our website, chapelboro.com. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hard to believe that Carolina-Miami Thursday night game is 1 week from tonight. The number 4 Carolina women's soccer team takes to Fetcher Field tonight at 7 o'clock for a league matchup against North Carolina State. Tar Heel fans will get an opportunity to catch the game broadcast nationally by ESPN3, and WCHL's live coverage will air on 97.9 FM and streamed on our website, chapelboro.com. You can follow all the latest on UNC women's soccer on our website, chapelboro.com. WCHL Championship Sports. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Maybe North Carolina can set a precedent with these sleazy pro agents. This is Art Chansky with Thursday Sports Notebook. While the indictment of pro agent Terry Watson just dragged the UNC football scandal through the media mud again, it gives North Carolina a chance to take a stand that other states should follow. Those that have laws governing the conduct of professional sports agents can now act on them, just as North Carolina Attorney General Elaine Marshall and her staff have done. More than 43 states have some form of laws on the books governing professional sports agents, from having to register to do business to rules about how they must interact with college and professional athletes. Not surprisingly, almost none of those states does anything with the said laws. That's when North Carolina can set a new standard after it nailed Terry Watson Wednesday. Watson, who lives and works out of Georgia, was indicted on 14 counts of violating the North Carolina Uniform Athlete Act. The felonies could cost Watson up to 18 years in prison and thousands of dollars in fines. That is likely not to happen, but a suspended jail sentence, loss of his right to operate as an agent in this state, and substantial financial penalty may send the right messages. The Tar Heel State is not where you want to come and shadow athletes, then use intermediaries to pay them dirty money so they will sign up with your agency. Already a handful of UNC athletes have been disgraced to the point where they may never want to come back to Chapel Hill. A tutor who was supposedly too naive to know what she was doing is facing her own fines and jail time, and 3 more indictments will be unsealed that likely name complicit football coaches. The message is clear, or it should be. North Carolina has a long and proud history of college athletics. And if you want to slink around and try to buy athletes so they will allow you to represent them, take your act to Alabama or Mississippi or any other state with pro stock that doesn't really care how agents operate. Or better yet, let's be an example to those states that have laws that basically just lay there. Terry Watson can never work again in North Carolina, and that's good. And those who are doing what he did had better clean up their acts or clear out. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. But what does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall, and PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim based on national carriers' average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim based on data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Hill Acupuncture. It's half off. $75 for a 60-minute massage, available now for $37. Michelle, owner of Chapel Hill Acupuncture, is a practitioner of Chinese medicine, including acupuncture, Chinese herbology, and acupressure-style massage. She's been using acupuncture to help alleviate numerous acute and chronic pain syndromes. The closest thing, minus the needles, acupressure massage. Get today's deal and get half off one of these 60-minute sessions. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
It's a little bit chilly this morning, 7:30, 56 degrees, 70% chance of more rain today, probably in the form of drizzle or light rain. High today in the low 60s, and that's it. Tonight we're looking at cloudy skies, still 70% chance of rain, and the low in the low 60s, or low 50s, I should say. Hey, it's kind of slick out there this morning, be careful. Tomorrow, cloudy and a little better day, 30% chance of rain with a high in the upper 60s.
You're listening to 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. 10th day of the government impasse. Correspondent Bob Fuss says some House Republicans head to the White House to talk with the president.
House Speaker John Boehner is coming with only 17 others, described by Boehner's spokesman as negotiators, suggesting they're looking for something the president has made clear they won't get.
Army vet Jerry Lauder says 3 weeks from tomorrow he's supposed to get a check from the VA, but because of the partial shutdown...
Come the 1st of November, I'm screwed, along with a lot of other veterans that are out here.
Lauder's from San Diego, fought in the Gulf War, cannot work. On November 1st, veterans are due $6 billion in benefit money.
That means the world to us. I mean, people are going to lose their home. We're all going to be homeless. The grocery stores don't take IOUs for groceries.
Another shutdown consequence. Today, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission begins furloughing 3,600 workers.
There will be concern.
Says the Union of Concerned Scientists, Edwin Lyman.
The only real danger is if we experience some sort of reactor emergency.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
55 degrees, big chance of rain today, 732 at WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz. Sports agent Terry Watson, the second to be indicted on felony charges related to the UNC football scandal, appeared in an Orange County courtroom on Wednesday. WCHL's Rachel Nash was there and had some more.
Watson, based out of Georgia, faces 13 felony counts in violation of the North Carolina Uniform Athlete Act and one count of obstruction of justice, according to court documents unsealed Wednesday. 13 charges are for athlete agent inducement related to gifts provided to former UNC football players Greg Little, Robert Quinn, and Marvin Austin. Watson also faces one felony count of obstruction of justice. He faces a maximum of 15 months in jail for each of the athlete-agent-related charges and a maximum of 30 months in jail for the obstruction of justice charge. Watson is next scheduled to appear in court on October 15th, though Orange County District Attorney Jim Woodall said that could change. Watson is alleged to have provided Greg Little with $18,200 in cash between May 2010 and October 2010. Watson is also charged with providing Little with $683.24 for a Miami hotel room and $1,574 for airline tickets. Court documents cite that Watson allegedly provided Robert Quinn with $100 in cash and $675.74 for a hotel room in Miami and $750 for airline tickets. Watson is also charged with providing Marvin Austin with $2,000 in cash. The Uniform Athlete Agent Act has been adopted by 40 states, including North Carolina, and says any agent must register with the state, specifically the Secretary of the State in most cases, in order to act as an agent. Watson was registered in Georgia as a member of the Watson Sports Agency. The Uniform Athlete Agent Act is designed to shield athletes from sports agents who offer gifts to entice them to sign representation contracts while competing on the collegiate level. Last week, Jennifer Wiley Thompson, the former UNC tutor connected to the football program scandal, was the first to be indicted. She was charged with athlete agent inducement on four low-level felony counts. An Orange County grand jury issued multiple indictments on September 30th, three of which still remain under seal. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
A courthouse official told WCHL that it's unlikely Wiley or Thompson and Watson will serve the maximum punishment if convicted. The degree of their sentence depends on their prior record. And the official said most of these people probably don't have much of a record, so they're more likely to just get probation. WNCN is reporting today that the third indictment could be unsealed on Friday. Residents living near Obie Creek, just south of town, got a look at a new development plan last night. Many still think it's too much. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
When developer Roger Perry presented a revised site plan to the Obie Creek Compass Committee last night, he told them that review by the town's technical team had done much to improve it.
It's a much better plan than the one you saw Monday night. We're especially excited about figuring out a solution as to how not to turn our back to 15501, but to integrate this project into the fabric of Southern Village and into town.
The revised plan is based on one presented to the committee earlier this week. A team of consultants led by Victor Dover reviewed the plan and made recommendations to the developer. The changes include breaking streets and buildings into smaller blocks, buffering 15501 with trees, and adding slow-speed circulator roads around the perimeter of the property.
I think that's one of the major breakthroughs in the last 2 days is now what we've designed is a streetscape along the creek that is really, really very much of a human scale. Three-story townhomes where you could, you know, really create quite a pedestrian experience.
But some committee members, as well as many of the 36 audience members, said the plan did not address one of their fundamental concerns, that of scale. Robert Strauss questioned why the plan called for a development footprint the same size as Durham South Point Mall.
I don't feel like I have a good understanding. I don't feel like there's been a thoughtful approach to why it is the size it is.
In fact, the revised plan is slightly larger than those the committee critiqued on Monday, though Perry said he would be willing to scale it back to approximately 1.5 million square feet. Dover warned the committee not to aim too low, saying the project must reach a critical mass of residential and retail density to succeed.
You usually think about density like it's a toxic substance, and that the thing to do is to reduce the dosage so you don't overdose on it. I don't think that's the situation you have right here. You actually want to achieve a livable density, which means one that supports transit, puts enough souls close together to support neighborhood retail, to support neighborhood congregations. Those are public benefits, and you don't get to that by just taking density out.
Roger Perry agreed.
First of all, you want us to be successful. The last thing you want is a failure here. So you want us to be successful. We feel like that this is a scale that is in the best interest of being successful for us and the town.
The OB Creek Compass Committee is in the first phase of the negotiation process for a development agreement. The committee's report, due to go to the council in November, will help the council decide whether to enter into the second phase of the process, in which town leaders would negotiate directly with the developer to hash out a long-term building plan. The newly revised OB Creek map will be presented for public comment at a forum on October 16th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Extraordinary Ventures on Elliott Road. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The UNC System Board of Governors is set to meet today, and we have all the details on that coming up in our next newscast at 8 o'clock on WCHL or shortly thereafter, also on our website, chapelbro.com. Chapel Hill Town Council candidate Paul Neeby says if he's elected, he'll focus on what he calls the town's escalating tax problems.
We need to figure out some way to keep them from growing so quickly and hopefully stabilize them.
9 candidates are contending for 4 seats on the town council. Neeby says his background in music will help make him make sure that all the voices of Chapel Hill are heard.
I try to make sure that every time I talk to people that I get their input. As a professional musician, we are trained to listen to every single voice.
WCHL's Rand Northam spoke with Neeby about his seeking election to the council and how he believes he will best serve you. You can tune in the 8 o'clock hour to hear more of that interview. Between now and Election Day, we'll continue to preview each of the candidates one-on-one. North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory will comply with a law requiring he appoint a board that hears unemployment benefit appeals, even though he believes the panel is unnecessary, and he says it's a waste of money. The governor's top legislative lobbyist wrote to Senator Bob Rucco, who last week complained publicly how the governor had not chosen the 3-member Board of Review by September 1st, as the law demanded. Fred Steen told Rucco that board members and staff salaries could cost nearly $1 million annually, and the panel could lead to slower operations. He says the Division of Employment Security already has reduced appeal wait times. Rucco and State Representative Julia Howard wrote Steen back on Tuesday and said they want to know by October 31st when board members will be appointed and start their work. WCHL News Time, 7:39. Coming up, your opportunity to qualify to win the Continental Tire Basketball and Big Apple giveaway on WCHL just a few minutes from now. And also, later on in the morning, your chance to win some tickets to see Lewis Black in concert at DPAC. That'll be 1 week from tonight over there. Thursday, October 17th. That's right. All right, now, here is Rand Northam, and he's going to tell you what's happening at our website.
Thank you very much, Ron. Well, the DPAC, as you mentioned, Durham Performing Arts Center's series kicked off with Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah.
And Zach Godwin went to the show and has a positive review of the spectacle of a show. He says lots of bright lights and great entertainment. Of course, Beauty and the Beast is Disney's oldest Broadway musical.
Mm-hmm.
They took Beauty and the Beast before they took Lion King. Lion King, of course, a huge success. And Beauty and the Beast is the 7th longest running Broadway musical out there.
My daughter Cam and I went to see Beauty and the Beast on opening night. Nice. It was excellent.
Excellent.
It was really, really good.
Yeah. Lion King is number 8. Just a little factoid there for you. Mm. Zach and I got to talk a bunch about that. So that's in our lifestyle section. Also in our lifestyle section, vote for our short list, which is the best place for a pumpkin-flavored treat. It's October, so we're, of course, asking you where you think the best place is to get a pumpkin-flavored treat. Lots
Apple
more.
Applebee's with pumpkin pie. Yeah. Jay and the Techniques.
A lot more available in our lifestyle section on our website. Always a song involved in something, that's for sure.
Yeah.
In Huddle Up with the Heels, of course, College Pick'em will be underway again this week, and we ask that you make those picks. Join us, and again, it's not just a season-long competition. That is involved as well, but it's a week-by-week, too. So if you haven't joined us yet, you can join us in our College Pick'em, and we hope that you do. And a reminder that next week's Thursday night game, Zero Dark Thursday, will be live at Rams Plaza for our pregame show. But yep. We're also going to have a crew on Franklin Street for Tar Heel Downtown. Mm-hmm. And you, Ron, and the crew will be speaking with them as they see how those festivities are going. So we'll be all over town that day.
Looking forward to it.
And we've got our calendar page, all kinds of events going on throughout the week and over the weekend. You can check that out. And Gail Stott Lowry went to Tyndall Galleries, was featured there. So those are available in our photo gallery on our website, chapelboro.com. That and much more, all available at chapelboro.com with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
Sometime between now and next Thursday night, I'm going to have to get a black Carolina t-shirt
so I
can be that be a part of that blackout thing.
Yeah.
I don't have one, so anyway, but we all need to go get them.
Maybe
so
you need one of the new black jerseys.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's
I imagine this is something that's going to probably stick around for years to come.
Yeah.
It should be a blackout.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we're going to be everywhere.
That's right.
Hey, listen, thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you in just a few minutes and get a look at morning traffic on WCHL. It is week 3 of the Continental Tire Basketball and Big Apple Giveaway presented by Seagroves Insurance. We're sending a couple of lucky Carolina basketball fans to New York City and the Mohegan Sun Casino in Connecticut to watch the Tar Heels play in the Hall of Fame Tip-Off Classic. Remember, we have more location sponsors than ever before, 38 in all. If you want to increase your odds of being a finalist, enter at every location once every week for the next 6 weeks at locations including R&R Grill, 10,000 Villages, Terra Nova Global Properties, Southern Rail, Townsend Bertram & Company, Twig, UPS Stores, Fordham Boulevard in Metamont, Venable, Vietri, and Southern Rail. All of those places and a whole lot more. And don't forget to enter at our website, chapelboro.com, and on Chapel Brew's Facebook page. We're drawing finalists each week from each of those methods, and of course our on-air call-in finalists each weekday during the WCHL morning, afternoon, and evening news. If you want to be a finalist for the Continental Tire Basketball and Big Apple Giveaway presented by Seagroves Insurance, be caller number 7 right now. 919-929-WCHL.
Exactly 5 years ago, Diamonds Direct came to Raleigh on a mission to revolutionize the way people here buy diamonds and bridal jewelry. Our concept was new to the Triangle then, but as second-generation diamond cutters, we were confident in our product. And after 15 years of selling to the public in Charlotte, we felt the Triangle was perfect for our unique concept. Diamond prices here were way too high, and selection was too limited. We came to give you a clear choice and a better alternative to old-style jewelry retailing. When we opened, word spread quickly. And today, Diamonds Direct Crabtree is one of the fastest-growing stores in America, with tens of thousands of satisfied customers and a solid reputation for quality, value, and service.
Hello, this is Barack Hennes, Vice President of Diamonds Direct Crabtree. I want to thank you for making us the leader in diamond and bridal jewelry. We love the Triangle and are thrilled to serve you, now and for years to come.
Diamonds Direct Crabtree, North Carolina's only direct diamond importer and the official jeweler of the Carolina Hurricanes. On Glenwood, outside Crabtree Valley Mall, across from Fleming's.
Stop listening now. Lewis Black returns in an all-new show, The Rant Is Due Tour, for one night only, live at DPAC.
Each year I've dropped holidays from my calendar that I don't think apply anymore. And this year I'm proud to say that I dropped Valentine's Day.
Don't miss Lewis Black live October 17th. For best seats, go to DPACNC.com or Ticketmaster. Video screens give every seat a front row view.
Are you the type who simply can't resist a classic?
He's looking at you, kid.
Go ahead.
Make my day.
If you can't resist a classic, then Breadman's Restaurant is the perfect place for you. You'll love the banana pudding.
Hello, gorgeous.
And you can get a full breakfast anytime.
Inconceivable!
Open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily.
Breadman's Restaurant, since 1974. A Chapel Hill classic.
And God is my witness. I'll never be hungry again.
Orange County Solid Waste Management presents two free shred-a-thons for Orange County residents and businesses. The first one is today at University Mall across from Dillard's from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. But if you can't make it then, catch the second shred-a-thon on Saturday, October 12th behind Home Depot in Hillsboro. Bring up to five Baker Box-sized boxes or large bags of paper to be shredded. One visit per person per shred. Be sure to remove any plastics first. Shred-a-thon number one today from 10 to 2 at University Mall.
For great food and infinite sports on game day or night, the new Tobacco Road Sports Cafe is your next stop. Locally owned and operated, Tobacco Road features fresh, local ingredients, down-home classics, and gourmet entrees, plus a wide selection of North Carolina beers on tap. Exceptional service is also on every menu, from your servers to the chef preparing your order. In Infinite Sports, we have every available sports package on TVs throughout the restaurant for your viewing comfort. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe. Now open in Chapel Hill's East 54 Shopping Center.
Well, thanks of all for all the phone calls this morning. Everybody calling in trying to get qualified for the Continental Tire Basketball and Big Apple giveaway presented by Seagrove's Insurance. I could not answer all the calls. I apologize for that, but thank you for trying. You'll get another opportunity next hour. This hour's qualifier, and it's Scott Jared. He's qualified before. You can do it once a week by all of our different methods. Go to chapelbro.com to get all the details. You could be on your way to New York City and the Mohegan Sun Casino in Connecticut to watch the Tar Heels play basketball in the Hall of Fame Tip-Off Classic. Again, your opportunity to call in, get qualified to win next hour. 747 at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Beverly Rockhill. Whether you have a passion for wildlife, for cats or dogs, or are simply a person who wants to see less suffering throughout our world, you should care about domestic animal overpopulation. Without widespread shifts in social norms regarding the unacceptability of unneutered cats and dogs and unlicensed backyard breeding, much of our well-intended debate about disease control, adoption, and euthanasia will unfortunately not amount to much when it comes to an annual animal body count. Shelter space and the number of potential adoptees will always be limited. In the absence of aggressive spay-neuter programs, the number of animals needing sheltering can be unlimited. When there is a widespread consensus in our society that we humans, having domesticated cats and dogs thousands of years ago, have thus assumed the responsibility for stewardship over these species, we can start to make some real progress. We, not the animals we have domesticated, have the foreknowledge and the ability to prevent the tragedy of the taking of so many healthy lives by preventing the births of unwanted cats and dogs. Please speak out. Help to change the norms about what it means to be a truly humane and progressive society. Don't rely on shelter workers to do this. It is a societal task. Read information put out by animal welfare organizations on what has proven effective at some of the best shelters when it comes to decreasing euthanizations. The poet Audre Lorde observed that your silence will not save you. Our silence, no matter how caring, will not save the animals. This is Beverly Rockhill.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Are you a local business owner? Are you aware of the upcoming health care reform changes? Did you know that working with a private exchange can save between 30 and 50% on your current healthcare costs? This is David Leader with Legacy Investments and Insurance Solutions. Whether you are a business owner or individual, let us give you a free analysis of your investment strategy or healthcare plan. We don't offer canned advice. We specialize in tailored solutions from Affordable Care Act compliant health plans to customized investment strategies. Call today for a free consultation. 919-960-1547.
Trust. In the dry cleaning business, trust is what you expect. Hi, this is Brenda Honeycutt. And for more than three decades, our family-owned and operated business has been earning the trust of our loyal customers. I invite you to find out why so many Chapel Hill families trust their everyday and hard-to-handle items with us. Plaza Dry Cleaners on Elliott Road in the Whole Foods Shopping Center. Plaza Dry Cleaners. Improve your image. Come clean with us.
Time for traffic and weather together on WCHL. This traffic report is brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. Whether you need something as simple as a new watch battery, something as special as an engagement ring, or that custom piece you've been dreaming of for years, Grenville Jewelers is there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler. Go see Berkeley today. Grenville's in the Village Plaza, right next to Whole Foods. Now with your morning traffic, here's Rand.
Thank you very much, Ron. 15501 northbound and southbound between South Columbia and NC-54, seeing moderate delays right now. Nothing too heavy. NC-54 seeing delays between 15501 and South Columbia as well. That's heading westbound. NC-54 eastbound and westbound between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40, seeing some delays right now. And otherwise, things are moving fairly smoothly. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior by giving us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can also tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask that you do that safely.
Kind of dark and dreary out there today.
It is. Sure. That's not too much rain falling right now in most of the area, though. That's good news.
Yeah, and don't forget your headlights wherever
you are.
All right, WCHL's Chapel Hill Cumberland weather brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. If you're thinking about lunch today, stop in for a quick lunch and select from 8 juicy smoked meats and fresh sides. Dickie's Barbecue Pit in Durham up Mont Moriah Road. 55 degrees, cool this morning. 70% chance of more rain, probably drizzle all day. High in the low 60s. Tonight, cloudy. Still 7 chances out of 10. We'll get more rain. Low in the low 50s. Tomorrow, a little better day. Cloudy with a 30% chance of the wet stuff. And the high in the upper 60s. 752 WCHL. Ron Stutz here. Let's check in with Chatham County. Wayne Pond is here. And Wayne, what's it doing out there? Is it raining right now?
Did I hear you just say dark and dreary?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's not only a replication of the weather forecast. It also sounds, gosh, Ron, you're sounding like Edgar Allan Poe. On a morning dark and dreary, as I sat all weepy and teary, trying to think up the word of the day.
Nevermore.
Very good. Then I talked to Ron Stutz, and things really took a turn for the worse.
Quoth the raven.
Quoth the Raven. Hey, are you a Baltimore Ravens fan there, pal?
No, but I am a Black Crows fan, so that's close.
Good for you. All right. Well, let's move in completely the other direction. The word of the day. Yeah, man, I'm just throwing you a whole bunch of softballs, cream puffs here. The word of the day is flippant. Flippant.
Flippant.
What?
Flippant.
Flip it, yeah. It's what you do with the pancakes on Saturday mornings, right?
You would never be flippant with me.
I perish the thought. Perish the thought. All right. F-L-I-P-P-A-N-T. F-L-I-double-P-A-N-T. Flippant. All right, Ron, you have better than an average shot at this. What's the definition of the word flippant, please?
Better than average. This means you don't take something seriously. You give kind of a quick answer that's, you know, it's kind of kidding, kind of maybe humorous, but
yeah,
it's just a quick response.
You're on the right track. You're in the wordsmith says flippant. See Ron Stutz at WCHL sales meeting.
I don't go to sales meetings. There you go.
All right. Well, you're exactly right. Lacking proper respect or seriousness, that is flippant. That is Ron Stutz. I'm here to testify.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I take pride in that.
Yeah. Good word of the day. Dark and dreary. Go back and read a little Poe, and I'll talk to you in the morning.
Okay. Thank you, Edgar. Have a good day. Wayne Pond with the word of the day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Sometime next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in here. Tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 755.
97.9 FM, WCHL, with Ron Stutz, and time now for the clean joke of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Lauren Stafford.
Thank you. I know you missed me.
Yeah, I did. I did. When you weren't here yesterday, I just about went crazy.
Not that Rand doesn't do a great job filling in.
No, he does a great job, but, you know, the same as having you here doing it.
Exactly. Our little morning rapport.
Yeah, I miss that South African flash stuff, you know. You're not here. I can't talk about South Africa.
Oh, I know. Mae McClendon.
Oh, good.
And her smile is of the day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Store manager says, I saw you arguing with that customer who just left. I told you before that the customer is always right. Do you understand me? Sales clerk said, yes, sir. The customer is always right. So the store manager says, that's better. Now, what were you arguing with the customer about? Sales clerk said, well, sir, he said you were an idiot. That's a good employee.
Yeah, really. No kidding. I wonder if you made that up on the spur of the moment. Get himself out of trouble.
I'll have to keep that one in mind.
Really? Hey, listen, thanks, and have a great day.
You too.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Janet Colm is the only CEO that Planned Parenthood of Central North Carolina has ever had. And she's today's WCHL Hometown Hero. Today, you are celebrating an anniversary. Tell us about that.
Well, we're celebrating 30 years of service to the community, remembering back on those old days in Hillsboro and thinking a little bit about everything that's happened since then. We have a gala lunch with more than 500 people coming, and a special treat, our national president, Cecile Richards, is going to be in town and speaking at the luncheon.
I understand you are the founding CEO and the only CEO of Planned Parenthood of Central North Carolina. That's quite a distinction.
Well, it's true, although I often say we really need to give all due credit to the founding board members, because they had done a year or so of work before I ever started and really laid a great foundation for us.
Well, we have to give you a lot of credit, too, for growing the organization. It all started out 3 decades ago, and now where is Planned Parenthood of North Carolina?
Well, we did. We started out in a really small two-room storefront in Hillsboro. Now we have a health center in Chapel Hill, we have one in Durham, and we have one in Fayetteville, and serve thousands of people a year. We also have a really strong community education program, and increasingly are politically active.
Janet Colm was even arrested at one of the Moral Monday protests in Raleigh this summer. Janet Colm has a real passion for what she does. What got it all started?
I kind of hate to say this on WCHL, but I was a student at Duke. And
oh, that's quite okay.
I took a women's history course there. This was in the early 70s, and I happened to read a collection of letters that had been written to Margaret Sanger, who is the founder of Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
These are letters that were written to her in the early 1900s from women begging for information about birth control. And it was such an eye-opening experience to me, because a lot of these women were my age, you know, early 20s, with 3 or 4 children. Some of them had had several miscarriages, and, you know, it just really opened up my eyes to what life was like for women before there was good contraception. And it changed my life.
Suffice it to say that you've changed a lot of other people's lives as well. Janet Colm, CEO of Planned Parenthood of Central North Carolina, celebrating a big anniversary today. You're today's WCHL Hometown
Hero. Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand, we promise.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Chapel Hill Acupuncture. It's half off, $75 for a 60-minute massage, available now for $37. Michelle, owner of Chapel Hill Acupuncture, is a practitioner of Chinese medicine, including acupuncture, Chinese herbology, and acupressure-style massage. She's been using acupuncture to help alleviate numerous acute and chronic pain syndromes. The closest thing, minus the needles, acupressure massage. Get today's deal and get half off one of these 60-minute sessions. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the morning news with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
And now, CBS News presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development, where